This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A new investigation from Reveal finds that Black and Latino mortgage applicants were routinely denied loans from banks all over the country. Overt racial discrimination in lending was outlawed about 50 years ago, but this new investigation shows that there's still a huge racial gap in mortgage approvals. Aaron Glantz is a senior reporter for Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting. He was the lead reporter for Reveal's Kept Out series. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, I want to go back in history a bit, Aaron. We used to have this, as I said, overt system called redlining. Can you talk about what that was before it was technically outlawed?
Well, back in the 1930s, the government actually encouraged segregation and discrimination. The federal government, planners with the federal government went out to communities all over the country. They drew lines on maps, and they labeled some neighborhoods hazardous to lend in. And those hazardous neighborhoods were deemed hazardous because they had large numbers of African Americans or immigrants. And there was a whole color coding system. They were the red neighborhoods, so that's where we get the term redlining. There were also yellow neighborhoods where lenders were encouraged to stay away that had smaller proportions of people of color or restrictive covenants that were ending. And then there were blue and green neighborhoods that were populated mostly by white people that the government encouraged banks to lend in. And that happened during the Great Depression. Flash forward to the 1960s, the Civil Rights Movement. Discrimination based on housing is banned 50 years ago in 1968 by the Fair Housing Act. And yet here we are 50 years later, and in our latest report for Reveal, we find that the homeownership gap between blacks and whites is now greater than it was during the Jim Crow era, and many, many banks all across the country are more likely to deny people of color, even when they make as much money as their white counterparts, even when they're trying to buy in the same neighborhood, and even when they're trying to take on the same amount of debt.
And that's the heart of your report. You went through masses of data about mortgage applications and who got approved, who got rejected. Tell us a little more about what you found.
I mean, we looked through 31 million mortgage records covering nearly every loan application in America in 2015 and 2016, which are the most recent years data is available. And we honed in on conventional mortgage loans. These are, you know, loans that people are using to buy a house when they are trying to do it without any kind of special government program. And we looked at, you know, all of the factors that the government collects, including, as I mentioned, how much money people make and the neighborhood and the kind of economic and social characteristics of the neighborhood and the amount of the size of the loan and the relationship between how much money people made and the amount they were trying to borrow. And even after we did all of that, there were 61 cities across the country where people of color were more likely to be denied. In Wisconsin, this was true for Latinos. In Racine, Wisconsin, we found that even after all of these controls, Latinos were more likely to be turned away by a factor of two.
You talked to a lot of banks in this story, and it seems like a pretty common theme was, hey, it's not the race, it's credit score. But credit score isn't one of those things that the banks have to report in this data you looked at.
That's right. So in 1975, when the Congress passed the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, they didn't mandate credit score be collected. And so it was not available and hasn't been for decades. However, after the financial crisis, Congress passed the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Bank Reform Act, right? And that was supposed to clean things up and prevent us from having another economic collapse. But even though Congress required in that law that banks start reporting credit score and some other important variables like the borrower's overall debt-to-income ratio, taking into account their student loans, for example, or car loans, even though Congress mandated that banks turn this over 7 years ago, we still don't have it, and the banks and the mortgage brokers have been fighting it every step of the way. So on the one hand, they say your analysis is not good enough because you didn't include this information. On the other hand, they're telling the federal government, hey, it's unfair, it's onerous, we shouldn't have to provide it. And anyway, even if we did, it wouldn't show anything interesting anyway.
Have banks been charged with discrimination in recent years?
Not often. There were a handful of cases brought under the Obama administration. We counted 9 lawsuits, fair lending lawsuits, during the entire 8 years of the Obama administration, and not a single one in the first year of President Trump.
And there was one Wisconsin bank, I think, that you tracked that that was on that list. Is that right?
That's right. So one of the few banks that has been sued by the federal government is Associated Bank out of Green Bay. It reached, actually, in 2015, the largest fair housing settlement in the history of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, $200 million. It promised to invest in low-income communities and communities of color when it was found to discriminate, or it actually settled a discrimination suit, rather. But we looked at the data in 2016, the year after that settlement, and we found that even then, Associated Bank made 32 times as many loans to whites as African Americans, and the bank's two largest markets are Chicago and Milwaukee, which obviously are, you know, very diverse communities.
You talked to some people, some individual people who had experiences, people of color who had experiences having their mortgage rejected or delayed over years. What kind of stories did you hear?
I think that the way I would characterize it is we heard a lot of people talking about a kind of runaround that they would get from their banker or their mortgage lender if they were a person of color, where it sometimes almost seemed like the lender was fishing for a reason to say no. I mean, always the reason for the denial was something that on its face would be eminently reasonable, like the person had a contract job and lenders like consistent W-2 income, or the person was new to an area, or the person, had an old electric bill or a cell phone bill that they had failed to pay that had screwed up their credit. But then, on the other hand, we found white borrowers who had those same problems, and the loan officers would often work with them, try to resolve those problems, and the person would end up being able to buy the house. So we found that loan officers enjoyed a fair amount of discretion, and that discretion inevitably was more likely to work out more favorably if the borrower was white.
Let's dig into the credit score a little more. People use it as kind of an objective rating of our financial risk if somebody's giving us a loan. There's been some criticism, though, about what goes into that number. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at this point the verdict is in that the credit score model that we use right now has some unfairness that is baked into the system, which is that the particular way that this data about you is inputted in is more likely to have a negative effect if you're a person of color than if you're white. And it has to do with the fact that there are certain types of credit, like mixed cell phone bills, missed electric bills, that only report when you don't pay. They don't report when you do pay. The biggest thing that doesn't report when you don't pay and does report, the biggest thing that only reports when you fail is rent. So basically, if you already own a home, every time you make a mortgage payment, your credit score goes up. So if you miss a payment, you have all the positive payments to jack it back up again. If you rent, that's not true. If you take out a payday loan, which people of color are targeted for payday loans, it only reports if you are negative. So a lot of people say that the credit score model that we use is not predictive of whether or not people of color will actually make their mortgage payments on time. And, even some of the banking industry will grant that, but they say that the problem, it's kind of a circular pointing of fingers. They'll point their finger back again to the government and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which buy 90% of conventional loans and insist on using the credit score that's calculated in this particular way.
Let's talk a little bit about consequences. Buying a home isn't just a place to live. It's, for many people, their primary asset that might be part of their retirement or borrowing against it for their kids' college, what have you. What are the long-term consequences if one group's got way better access to mortgages?
In America, home ownership and wealth are inextricably linked. We have an incredible amount of our wealth tied up in our homes. You know, your home is your retirement. Your home is the way that you can send your kids to college. your home as a way to pay a medical expense that pops up out of the blue. And and the homeownership gap between blacks and whites, I mentioned, is bigger than it was during the Jim Crow era when segregation was legal and discrimination was legal. And so it's perhaps not surprising that even though, you know, the wealth, the income gap between blacks and whites is not gigantic, that the wealth gap is now, the average white family is now worth 15 times as much as the average black one, with Latinos not doing much better. And a lot of that is tied to home ownership.
And Aaron, as we wrap up, do you see anybody trying to tackle this as a problem?
Well, actually, I see a big crisis in this area right now. We focused our analysis on 2015 and 2016 when President Obama was president. We talked about how there were a few cases brought in his administration, including against Associated Bank. It's also true that the Community Reinvestment Act, which is the most important law designed to deal with this, where every single bank in America is graded for their performance, 99% of them under President Obama got a satisfactory or outstanding grade. Now here we are under President Trump, and we have a little bit of the fox guarding the hen house, where some of the same bankers, which the biggest disparities of lending between whites and people of color, are now in charge of implementing and monitoring these laws. So I think that our report that shows how pervasive this problem is, you know, we all need to keep our eye on the ball and ask, you know, are people in power doing enough from preventing this from continuing?
We'll leave it there for now. Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
That's Aaron Glantz, senior reporter for the Center for Investigative Reporting and Reveal. He joined us to talk about Reveal's new Kept Out series, which found that banks disproportionately refuse mortgages and loans to people of color. You can find links to that series at wpr.org/centraltime.